Well, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Judy Rooney.
I'm Dick.
We go together sometimes. Let's turn around here with you and say your name, and so we can...
Kirsch from Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yep.
Jerry.
Your first name?
Marvie.
Okay.
Doug from Lake Elmore, California.
And Orange.
Same place.
What were those two again? I'm writing it down.
Doug and Orange were from Lake Elmore, California.
Thanks.
Did you get a flyer?
I did not, no.
Okay, right.
Here's one.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
Cora Lee Meyer from Mesa, Arizona for the next 4 weeks in Claremont, California after that. For who knows how long.
Heather Morris, Seattle.
Dale Sturzenegger, Olympia.
Why don't you say our name and where we're from?
Sure. John Hiskus, Seattle. Samuel Hiskus, also Seattle.
John from Magnolia, Ohio.
Michael Pellet from Saskatoon.
Hugh Geary from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, we also are from Columbus, Ohio. We actually go to the same church. They live in Worthington, we live in Columbus, but they're good kind of neighbors. Today we're going to have, this is the third of five sessions on Connect Dots, where we believe that a good adult learning program is the key for growing a Christian community in your church and for improving the common good within your church and outside your church. So this is the agenda that we've been following all week long, and you can see where we've been. And the red one is what we're going to do today. We're going to be looking at how ethical choices and choices that we make will enhance the common good. And the ethical choice that we're going to talk about today is the choice of where to live. That's an ethical choice as well as a practical choice. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And we're going to start out with the biblical background, which Dick and I'll read. We're going to have two verses. Dick's going to read.
This is from Matthew 5. You are salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot.
You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray this together, please.
God of love, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for the example and advice he provided in making choices that are pleasing to you. God of mercy, we pray for forgiveness when we think only of ourselves and hurt other people. We pray for the wisdom and courage to make loving choices in the future. Help us to be a light that points to you and gives glory to God in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, hand out there, especially the green one. Today we're going to explore the story of two people in the summer of their lives. And this is a season for folks with families and children often. Work lives are important, and these folks make choices not only for themselves, but these more important choices in life affect others as well. Well-known author Judith Vidor describes her feelings about this season of life that Judy will read.
And so, you've reached that time in life when you're starting to pick investments over adventure, clean over scenic, comfortable over intense, when even though in your heart of hearts you're only 17, the rest of you is, how did it happen? 40! From the book, How Did I Get to Be 40 and Other Atrocities, by Judith Vidor.
Okay, today's story. Charles and his wife Lynn need to move. The choice of where to live, as Judy said, has some ethical aspects, although many Christians do not realize it. America's housing patterns and policies seem to respond often to our fear of the other. Fears and perceptions often shape our decisions.
Can you take a handout?
City planners and developers usually do not develop neighborhoods that mix people of different financial means. Instead, the familiar pattern of housing that's stratified according to economic status seems to characterize much of our cities, suburbs, and exurbs. Racial discrimination can influence real estate values. A somewhat of a contrast may be small towns in America, at least some of them. They may have a healthier mix of people of different socioeconomic levels, as do some border areas in cities and suburbs. Tonight, Judy and I will be the readers for the story, and you can follow along on the green handout. And after we do this, you folks are going to be invited to develop some talking points for a conversation with Charles and his wife Lynn about where they should buy a house.
Charles and his wife Lynn will be moving soon from a small city to a larger one when Charles begins work as a new full-time music director at Hope Church. They would like to live near their new church with their two elementary school-aged children. They have all enjoyed living in their current neighborhood, which Lynn describes this way. It's a microcosm of America. The families that bring their children to our school speak 15 different languages and look like the colors of the Rainbow Coalition. 2/3 of the children receive federal aid subsidy for reduced or free lunch, and others are from families with the earning power of graduate degrees in education. End quote.
The family is in the process of investigating housing in each of the neighborhoods near Hope Church. Charles' modest musician's salary will determine the range of possibilities for buying a house. As the family thinks and prays about this major decision, their discussions reveal that Lynn wants to remain a part-time writer working out of the home, and to be involved in the schools of her children as a volunteer and a PTA participant. She was recently involved in organizing their neighborhood, which successfully lobbied the small city they currently live in to put pressure on an absentee landlord to upgrade his properties. Charles has experience in rehabbing old houses, and often would hire unemployed and underemployed neighborhood people to help him in this work in their current town.
The Hope Church property, that's the new church they're going to, borders on three neighborhoods of varying financial means on the northern edge of a mid-sized city. A significant part of its membership comes from each of these three distinct neighborhoods. Okay, now let's take a look at these neighborhoods. The neighborhood to the west is across a major north-south street from the church. The houses, most of those houses are federally subsidized low-income apartments, although there are some non-subsidized apartments. And the private homes that are there are from small working-class families. It is, the neighborhood is diverse ethnically and racially. That's the one that's across the major north-south street into the city from where the church is. Then there's the neighborhood that is to the south of the church and on the east side of that major street. Those houses belong to people who are middle-income earners. They are many modest single-family homes. The homes are more expensive than the ones we just talked about in the west neighborhood. It is less diverse, ethnically and in all other ways, than the west neighborhood. And there are many retired people who still live there, bought there originally and stayed. The neighborhood to the north of that street, of the church, is an inner suburb, which has middle and upper middle class families in it. And the houses are more expensive than either of the other two neighborhoods. The schools are perceived to be better, and it is the least diverse of the three neighborhoods. On this slide, we will see the three of them together. So you can see this is the major street that goes into the city, and you can see the west neighborhood on the west side, the left-hand side of that street, and this one on the right-hand side of that street, and the suburb, which is to the north of the street, which borders the city and the suburb. And the church is right on the street, which is the border between the suburb and the city. You can also see where the church is, right on that corner, and here's the school that serves this neighborhood, the city neighborhood. Okay, now, I'm going to give you all a chance to talk. We're going to divide up into three neighborhoods, and each of you will be assigned a neighborhood. That is to be your neighborhood. And what you're going to do is to help give information to this couple, Lynn and Charles, about the advantages of living in your neighborhood. And, of course, the disadvantages of the other neighborhood. So you are to be an advocate, a cheerleader for your neighborhood. Let's see. Yeah, okay. The reason for doing this is because there's a church member that has been assigned to meet with Lynn and Charles to talk to them about coming to that neighborhood. Your idea is that you will give some talking points to this person. So if that person hasn't thought about all the good points, then you can give them some more because you have lived in that neighborhood as well. And then that one person will represent that neighborhood in discussion with Lynn and Charles. So
Judy, if I could interject.
Yeah,
the church has sort of decided that a representative from each of these three neighborhoods should each have a conversation with Charles and Lynn. And describe their own neighborhood and why it's good and why the other neighborhoods might not be as good for them.
And on the bottom of the green handout that you have, there is a summary of each of the three neighborhoods as well as what your task is in your small group. So you're each going to find the disadvantages of your, or the advantages of your neighborhood and what might be the disadvantage of somebody living in the other two neighborhoods. Choose one person from your little group so that they can report back. You can write on the back side of that green sheet, and then we'll come back together, and Dick will record on the sheet what are the advantages and disadvantages of these neighborhoods.
I'll divide them up.
Okay, so remember, you're a cheerleader for your neighborhood. You're also a Christian. Okay, so.
I'm the diagram there because it's after supper, and I'm very slow in thinking.
Yeah.
You noted there was a school in the one now does that school serve all three of these neighborhoods?
No.
Only that one?
Oh, sorry, I went wrong. I pushed it. That serves the city schools.
These two.
So that school serves the west, south,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
east,
and we
did
not
the north neighborhood, they have their own school.
Yeah, the north neighborhood would have their own, and we did not put in that in there.
Okay, good, thanks.
Partly because this one is so close to the to the church. Okay, so let's see, how many people you have?
I was going to just divide, like, right between Hugh and Joyce and where the cord's hanging down there, this group could be the north neighborhood.
Okay,
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's going to be six people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then right between you two. And in behind that'll be five.
Yeah.
And then we have five here.
Okay.
So kind of arrange yourselves so you can talk
so
to each other.
So which neighborhoods are we?
Oh, let's see. I said north first. You can be west.
Okay.
And you can be east and south.
And you've got 10 minutes to list your comments.
So you're all proud of your neighborhood. Let's go. You're all proud of your neighborhood.
That's why.
Didn't say good morning, then.
No,
girl,
this.
Everybody got
20 minutes. Hope your life was
lighted. Okay, we'll start with the North neighborhood. And the North neighborhood will tell the disadvantages. Remember, these are going to be shared with the representative from that neighborhood who will meet with Lynn and Charles and tell them all the wonderful things about the North neighborhood.
And remember, our Bible passage, salt of the earth, light of the world.
Yes. Okay. All right. So who is the representative from the north? We're still collaborating.
We're southeast.
No, we're north.
We're southeast.
Who's north?
We're north.
Oh, sorry. North is over here. Okay.
No, we're over here.
Okay.
And but we want you to know that we're going to talk about the advantages and of our neighborhood. But we may have more to say after everybody else has said something. We're not necessarily going to give you the full story right now. One of the very important things for Charles and Lynn to realize is that this is a very good neighborhood for them to move into. And they do have a young family and probably won't be living here for their entire career. And the homes in our neighborhood have very good resale value. And so there is, it's a good investment to move into our neighborhood. And that's kind of a disadvantage with these other neighborhoods. Their resale value is not going to be up there. They might have trouble when they're ready to move to be able to sell their home. And the other thing about our north neighborhood, it's smaller government, and we have less crime. And Lynn is very interested in getting involved and doing some volunteer work and all. And we'd very much like to have that sort of a person involved in the government and the different things that go on in our neighborhood. She very easily could become a council person and stuff. It's not as ingrained, it's not all this government stuff that's been going on for a long time in these other neighborhoods that are part of the city. We have our own, and the mayor might live down the street from them. We're a very involved neighborhood, and we know about our government and all. And the schools are also very important for them. And we have a good reputation of retaining our teachers. We've got better educated teachers, and we pay them better than the city schools.
This is getting to the creative
stage. There's nothing creative about it. We're just telling you the truth. We're not making up anything. smaller classrooms too. There's a better student-teacher ratio. And again, like our government, our teachers live in the neighborhood. And so they're very much involved with the children.
How do they afford those homes?
Yes.
Because we pay them more.
We've got very good parks. There's good places going and being a part of the neighborhoods, because we do have nice parks. And they are used to a more diverse ethnic ratio than what we have in our community, but it's probably going to be a good experience for the children to live in a different sort of a community. And our church, Hope, is, you all know that we've got a lot of diversity in the church, and so it's not like they won't be a part of that, because we want them to be active in the church too, and they can bring some of their experiences in working together with the different groups that we have in church. And I mean, our neighborhood needs young, energetic folks like Chuck and Lynn. So we really think they should be choosing
Chuck.
Okay, let's go on to which one's on your
next one. South and East.
All right. Who's the South and East? Over here. Okay. Yes.
I did.
You took note.
Well, Chuck. Yes, Chuck. He's a fixer-upper, and we have a neighborhood of single-family dwellings that can handle not only the parents, but the kids. And he could fix up that house, and it will absolutely be a dynamo house with great resale value. Chip in here, guys. Look how close that school is, you know? The bike path goes from the church right to the school. They live on it. Kids safe. It's great.
No major streets to cross yet.
That's right. No major streets that go through the neighborhood. Safe for the kids. We don't have as much diversity as the West neighborhood, but, you know, as our friends from the North are saying, the church has good diversity in it, and we are amongst in that neighborhood. We have many retired people who offer many different backgrounds of service in the church and can provide much in the way of helping educate our young kids. We're part of the neighborhood structure, in the sense that the city has neighborhood districts with representatives that serve on the Citizen Advisory Committee for the South and East neighborhood, which the chair is appointed by none other than the city council. How much closer can you be to local government than that? We have a middle tax base, we've got a good school.
What was that about tax base?
Moderate tax base.
Yes.
Lynn participates in things like the PTA, and they've got a good active PTA. The schools in that neighborhood, the kids will not have to go to a different school in a different neighborhood. So we need some disadvantages to look at? Oh, boy.
No, we don't want to give them.
No.
For the other neighborhoods.
Oh. Yeah, I look at North, and what did I see there? I see
Nothing
good teachers, good. Smaller classes, good park. And they still talk about low property tax values?
It's too expensive.
Don't have any industry. They didn't talk about any commercial development like we have right next to the city center there where we have our employment center.
We don't have to pay for the rest of the city, though. We just...
That's a specious argument. The line on taxes goes right across there. You don't put any over to us. We don't give you any either. Please.
Now their homes in the north are too expensive for them to afford. They're on a moderate income.
And I believe these middle income homes would be much easier to sell if they happen to need to sell. And if they wanted to move, if they had more children and wanted to move to a bigger home or whatever, or they wanted to downsize, it'd be much easier to sell from this neighborhood. And the homes are nice. They are nice. We're not talking about low-income apartments.
With absentee landowners, as we might say.
We're talking about mostly single-family homes.
Well, we did note that West had smaller private homes, which would make it a little more difficult for them to fit in and find a house due to their family size of four. And what, Lynn Fragment or twins? Kidding.
It's a secret.
Have to cross the main thoroughfare to get to their neighborhood, which makes it a little less safe for kids trying to get to the school.
And the church.
And the church.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Good job, Vic.
Okay, let's go to the next one, which is the West neighborhood.
Well, I guess we're done. We feel that we have to be aware of the values and principles that this young couple have. They've been very active in their previous area, and we're pretty sure they're going to be active in the same way in this area. And while we know that Hope tries to pay as much as they can, let's face it, they're not going to get a really large salary here, at least not now. So we feel that the best and most affordable housing is in the West neighborhood. We also feel that we understand there's a shopping area down there, so there's going to be a lot of diversity of things they can buy, and who knows, they may even be able to save money and not have two cars, or maybe not even have one car. We weren't told how big those neighborhoods are, but we feel like this is just a better place financially for them to live. It's also the most diverse. I mean, they have come from a place where they have 15 languages in the school, where they have many people who are on a free lunch program, and just a lot of diversity, and they loved it, because this is what they want their children to grow up and live in. And so this is the most diverse area we have in our whole city. And Lynn has chosen not to work full-time. She's going to work from home and do writing. She's going to have a lot of marvelous stories she can collect from all the diverse people who live in this community and use a lot of that. And she also really likes to get involved with the neighborhood, the schools. She took on the city before, and I'm sure if there's any problems, she will take it on again. And so we need to give her that opportunity. There's another thing that, it's good to be in a church, and we really like the church, but sometimes you can be just a little bit too close to the church. And when you're looking at the church, and everybody wants to come and unlock the church, or do this or do that, you're close to the church in West Neighborhood, but not too close. And so we think that's a good thing, too. Another thing is, living in West Neighborhood, I mean, I know Hope, again, is doing a good job of trying to reach out all over, but
they haven't done too well in our West neighborhood. And if this young couple lives here, they will have a great opportunity to leverage this ethnic culture that will enrich Hope Church and bring a lot of diversity in music and other activities to the church here.
She's a fair, you know, she's a professional storyteller.
One of the problems that she has not looked at.
I'm a little concerned about North Neighborhood. It says schools are perceived to be better. Now, perceptions are sometimes not reality. When you have a neighborhood like our neighborhood with all the people working together, many of the people hoping to have a more advantageous life as they grow in education and that, those schools are going to work very hard and they're going to use a lot of their diversity in their neighborhood. So we feel that this would be the very best place, both from their past, from what they could bring to the church, and from how happy they would be. There's obviously probably going to be a lot of children in our neighborhood for their children to play with. We're a little concerned about the South and East neighborhood. retired people are wonderful people. And obviously they probably go to the church, but they don't produce a lot of kids. And so consequently, the neighborhood might be, your neighborhood's a little bit low in the kid ratio, and these kids need playmates.
Now, you know, Joyce, I think you have to be kind of honest with Charles and Lynn in that you probably don't know what the feds have in mind here in this. You know how what's been happening in these cities. We're an inner suburb, and what's happening is that some of this low-income apartments and stuff, I mean, they're going to be gone, and they're planning this. I mean, haven't you heard about this?
Oh, they're putting in all these condos. She's taken on governments before.
All these condos are very expensive. Stable in our neighborhood, they won't have to put up with all this stuff that's going on.
But they like it.
Obviously, Hope Church has contentious council meetings as well.
We will give you the answer.
Is it an answer?
We will give you the answer of where they move to at tomorrow's.
They probably moved to a northeast neighborhood.
They turned down the call.
Yeah, they said, I don't want this call.
I don't want to go with these folks.
Well, there is one more thought that we weren't going to mention it, but I think we should mention it if they haven't made their decision yet. I mean, you know, who's the treasurer here? Look at Hope's budget. Where does most of the money come from in this church?
Ooh.
I mean, we've got some really good advantages. We can help them in our neighborhood. And, I mean, we don't want to, pull that out. But just keep it.
Of course not.
And while we're at it, here's the hymns we like to hear on Sunday.
Okay. We've done this a few times before, but never
got this.
tune in last time.
Actually, I would guess if you were in the same church, it would bring up some really good, hopefully, issues to discuss.
Exactly. Unless somebody stands up and sort of...
Don't point at anybody. Don't point at anybody.
I mean, I'm thinking if you're running this deal in a congregation, you better be prepared to do conflict resolution. The old tapes will start coming up.
In our leader's guide, we try to say that if this happens, maybe you want to steer it this direction.
Yeah, yeah.
You can point out where the sensitive issues are, where people get kind of owly, and it's time to say, how about we continue this discussion over coffee tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think that all three groups made a great argument. And now it's up to the couple, because it all depends on income, their likes, their wishes.
That's right.
I don't think a good pastor would allow this to happen.
Amen.
You're going to have a church.
Where does the pastor live, by the way?
three suburbs away.
But it brings out all the issues. You probably want to talk about now.
And if you're looking at your community as a whole, this is a great way to look at your church community and see where your members come from and what they think about the various areas, the geographical areas, etc. And that could be very important information for a new pastor coming in or a change in direction of your congregation. Where do you want to do your ministry next? Maybe they would see this and they'd say, well, you know, there's all these apartments down there. I wonder if they got babysitters in those federally subsidized apartments for after-school programs, or the kids coming home to empty apartments. Or maybe we should invite them to our after-school program because they're not getting that. We could provide transportation. There is a bus that goes over there, but maybe we could encourage something like that. So it could be a good place for getting information shared.
This would be a good exercise for fall committee to do and observe them.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, you could pick out all the dynamics then.
Okay.
I'd like to look ahead for just 5 minutes here at an idea we're going to talk about more in the next couple of days. One of the many things to consider in a decision about which neighborhood to locate in is the role that fear plays. And you all played up on that pretty good.
Hey, we're good.
Go right to it.
In the next two sessions, we're going to be using some terrific ideas from the well-known Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, who many of you are very familiar with. So let's reflect now on what you've just done in the context of this slide. This is Brueggemann's ideas about scarcity thinking. Scarcity thinking is thinking that we don't have enough. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough school teachers. We don't have enough security, whatever. Scarcity thinking can lead to anxiety, or will lead to anxiety. And anxiety can lead to either accumulation of stuff or control. And then in the extreme, and especially at the national level, that can lead to violence. Abundance thinking.
Wait, I want to say we've heard a lot of this lately in the political rhetoric of this national campaign.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of scarcity thinking.
It's there all the time. Be very afraid, especially of the other guy. Abundance thinking, on the other hand, says that God provides enough. That leads to trust. Trust then leads to sharing. And sharing leads to peacemaking or the common good.
As Micah told me, I have enough breath to last me. From when I was born until I die. That's abundance.
That's abundance. That's a great example.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Now, I was going to go through some of your answers here as far as abundance thinking and scarcity thinking, but I think I'll just ask you to think about what's been said around and just think about how we think about these kinds of decisions, in particular this one.
Why don't you give that example that we've thought of that you have in your notes, just for...
Which one?
The ones about the schools.
Oh, I forget, you say it.
Yeah, scarcity thinking would be being afraid of the school, being anxious about safety of your children. That would be an example of scarcity thinking. Abundance responses would be things like employing your neighbors for rehabbing, getting acquainted with them that way, improving their standard of living, and or working at the PTA at the whatever school they're in to improve the school there with across the city. So you look at it either from the glass half empty or the glass half full.
Okay, let's go to the next slide, Judy. And certainly, as Judy mentioned, not only in our political culture, but in our culture in general, scarcity thinking is very common. And we're going to pick up on this tomorrow. But I'd like to read this quote from Bergman's recent book, Journey to the Common Good. He says, "Our immediate experience of the kingdom of scarcity is our entitled consumerism, in which there is always hope for more, in which we imagine that something more will make us more comfortable, safer, and happier." And then he expounds on this in the book, and 5 pages later, he gives some hope. "But the narrative of abundance persists among us. From dreams and hopes come such neighborly miracles as good health care, good schools, good housing, good care for the earth, and disarmament." He calls these last items on the slide neighborly miracles, and we're calling them examples of the common good. So, tonight we've tried to connect the dots between learning about an ethical choice and enhancing the common good. We've learned some of the ethical aspects of choosing where to live. We've debated some of those ethical choices with amazing creativity. And finally, we've tried to connect some of this ethical choice with ways to enhance the common good. So I hope this discussion has given you some good food for thought tonight. But the next session, we're going to look at public education. And it's going to be right in that little old school on the right-hand side of that diagram. Another factor that affects the common good. So we'll see you tomorrow when we'll use a problem-centered approach to learning, which asks you to reflect on your own experience of moving from self-interest to the common good. We'll have 2 stories about public education and the choices and questions for individual Christians and churches. So, see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation.